Hi, everyone. Are you a freelancer who's feeling overworked, overwhelmed, and burnt out because you have to serve all these clients and market your services all at the same time? And are you tired of the feast and famine cycle, not being able to predict your income or worrying about whether you'll be able to pay all your bills next month or several months down the road? Or are you the type of freelancer who just wishes you could drop all or most of your clients? If you said yes to any of those questions, then this episode of Marketing Insights Live is just for you, because I am interviewing a good friend of mine who was in the same situation that I just described, and she did something about it. She transformed her business from a service-based business into a product-based business. And now she is living the life of her dreams. She has time for her children. She loves her business and she's making more money than ever. So I hope you will join me. Now, before I move on to the main interview, just some housekeeping things. Remember to turn on your audio. There should be an icon in the corner of this video. Click on that to make sure that you will hear me and my guest clearly and will have the best experience. And also get a pen and paper, because I think you're going to want to take a lot of notes. This is going to be good. And finally, if you know other freelancers, please do share this video with them. Okay, in case it's your first time meeting me, let me introduce myself. I am Lexi Rodrigo. I am a copywriter, digital content manager. And as you can see, I love learning and I love to share what I learn with everyone. And that's why we have this show. So let's talk about my guest. My guest is actually a very special person because I met her online 10 years ago. Can you believe it? 2008, when I started with my home business. And she's special because I have met her actually three times in person. So the first time I met Angela was in 2009. And at that time, she was a virtual assistant. She was, a little bit shy and soft-spoken lady. And then the next time we met in person, we were having a mastermind session. And I remember her sharing with the group that her goal was to buy her own house. And then, you know what? The next time I met her, I think 1 or 2 years later, she had actually bought her house and she had had a second baby. So this lady, oh my gosh, her trajectory has been amazing and awe-inspiring. And I am so, so honored to be able to introduce her to you. But I will ask her now to introduce herself. Let me show you my guest. Okay, hang on, Angela. I am just messing around with the lower thirds here on Be Live. So, Angela, tell everyone watching, who are you and what do you do?
Well, I'm honored for that intro, Lexi. That was so nice. And so I never would have thought to introduce myself that way. To see it from your perspective is very cool. But I am Angela Wills, and I'm the owner of the Laptop Lifestyle Business Club. I do love what I do, and I love my lifestyle and the freedom I have. And I'm just always excited and also honored to share, you know, what I've learned and how I've grown and how I've grown and what I do with others. And I do that in my club. I do that in like my free group. I do that by emailing my list. And I just like to share what I know. I love to help others grow. And that's basically what I'm about. I'm about lifestyle freedom. I'm about being able to be there for your people. And I'm so excited to be here.
So tell us about your journey. What was the impetus for you to decide to change your business model from being a virtual assistant to being somebody who creates and markets your own programs?
Yeah, what made me make the switch.
Yes.
I was actually emailed my list to let them know to come watch this today. And I mentioned it a little bit in that email. I was a single mom. And when I decided that I wanted to become an entrepreneur, I wasn't like someone who was kind of raised in the idea of being an entrepreneur. I was raised to go to college, university, get a good job and do all that stuff. But when I had my son, I decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I kind of worked through various businesses that I just really didn't know what I was doing. And I ended up working in a factory while I was still trying to figure out how do I really, you know, get this so that I have that freedom to be home with him. And he was about 4 or 5 at the time. And I quit my job. Finally, I found something that worked, which was hours for dollars. And it was virtual assistants. And it was like a culmination of all those years where I tried various things and I loved online. I quit my job and became a virtual assistant, which I was thrilled about. Like it is a great, I am not knocking services or, you know, a freelancing or anything like that. Cause I think it is absolutely a great way to earn a living, and you have to, you get to work with so many awesome people. Like I just loved it. And I was really thrilled about being able to quit. But once I quit, I didn't have the experience to decide how to build that out in a way that would give me lifestyle freedom. I didn't have the information. I didn't even have it on my radar that I could become or create like a monster of a business. That just had me like overwhelmed, overworked, stressed out with clients, kind of just demanding stuff of me. Clients who were, you know, probably not the right clients or probably not in the right position to be working with me or maybe whoever, because they were demanding of me in ways that didn't work for me, you know, like just wanting me to work at 10 p.m. or answer them at 5 a.m. And it was very, very stressful to me. So, and my parents, of course, they were around seeing how I was doing this, and I had quit to be home with my son, but I was just, you know, I had nothing left for him after all of this. So I was like, this has got to change. And they're saying to me, this has got to change. So it came to a point where I was like, the consensus with people around me who love me said I should go back to work and just kind of, you know, let it go. But that wasn't what I wanted to do. And at first I thought, yeah, I got to let it go, but you kind of have to sometimes tear something down to recreate it. So from that was the catalyst. That was the point. And it wasn't too long after I had become a virtual assistant that it got to that point. Like it just kind of ramped up fast. I got a lot of clients. I got a lot of work and I was good at what I was doing, but it had to change. And so, you know, you often learn the most from going through these kind of things. And that's what I always share with people. And that's where it started. And that, if I'm guessing dates, it was probably around 2008. So in between, you know, points where we had met. And then I moved towards, you know, higher quality services in terms of I started providing affiliate management. I started doing things like website design, so full websites for people, and gradually moved on over until about 2010. 2009, I think I did my first graphics training. 2010, I did a coaching program. I also did a few info products. I know you might ask me about my first product, and neither one of those was my first, so I can mention what that was for sure. But that's where it all started, and it's definitely a whole kind of, you get the ball rolling and you work on it from there.
Absolutely. And I think people who are thinking of quitting their jobs need to know this, because they don't I sure did not realize it either, that when you go into business for yourself, you actually have to work more. You have to work longer hours than when you were in a job. And especially if it's work at home, right? There are no set boundaries between work and the rest of your life. So you just tend to be working all the time. And in my case, I enjoy what I do online. So I actually have a hard time telling myself to stop. But right. Absolutely, for people like us, we have families and small children. And well, I guess even if you don't have children, everyone needs to have a personal life and do have those boundaries. My next question is, so how did you make that transition? Was it a slow kind of transition? Like you mentioned, you switched to higher, like more premium services. But at the point when you said absolutely you wanted to stop being a freelancer, did you just fire all your clients right away, or was it a gradual transition?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. It's burnt out. It wasn't there that I decided that I was just never going to have clients again. I just knew it had got out of control, right? Like at that point, I was like, I know people who do this and they don't seem to be as, you know, kind of overwhelmed. And I know, you know, service providers can get overwhelmed, but some of the people I knew seemed to be doing it successfully. So I was like, okay, well, I can recreate this in a different way. And it took a few years before I really believed that I could create an entire business out of products, right? And not have any clients to rely on for that income. And so when I started transitioning, it was very gradual, because it took me time to realize that, you know, a product, I knew intellectually a product you can make a lot more money on, but how does that apply to me? So it took, you know, you have to kind of prove these kind of things to yourself. You have to say, okay, well, I've sold a $17 product, and now I've sold a $47 product, and now I've sold a $300 product. And then you can start to see that this can create an actual real, like, legitimate income. And so it took a number of years. And it wasn't until after you mentioned I bought my house after we had Mastermind. So it wasn't until, I think, after I got my house, and a year later, I finally let go of all clients. And I did it gradually. I let go of the ones who, you know, you might call the stinker clients, or the clients who, they're all great. I think that all of them are great people. And I think we just sometimes didn't match. And I took on the wrong people, so I take as much responsibility for that as I think that they should for hiring me. But I have no hard feelings towards any clients I've ever worked with. But sometimes it just didn't match, right? It just didn't work. And I had to let those people go first. And then I stuck with some clients for longer, and then eventually let everyone go. And they knew it. They knew that what I was working towards, and it was all open, and they were well aware, and very gradual from, you know, that 2008 time to 2012 is 4 years, I guess. So yeah, that's how it went.
So at the time when you let all your clients go, the rest of your clients go, did you make the kind of analysis that, oh, okay, at this point, X percent of my income is coming from products, and only X percent is coming from clients, and so it made sense for you to go fully into products?
Right.
Yeah. Or did you just jump in? And
No, it was by design. It was just like most of my work at that point was with like coaching programs. So I was doing a lot of coaching programs. I had been very successful with my WordPress training. So I had a WordPress course. And so that was in full swing when I decided, okay, it's time. I was running the course about every 3 months. So it was all by design that by that point had switched to, I was basically an information product person, and I had a few clients left. And so that was a gradual process.
And that makes sense, because like you mentioned earlier, being a service provider is a great way to make money from home. And one reason is because we get paid right away, right? Unlike with creating a product, sometimes it takes time to create the product, and it can take time to get paid because you have the production and then the launch and so on. And it's a gamble to, like, you don't know if people are going to buy. Now, my next question is, did you have to shift your audience? Because when you were getting started, so of course you were building this audience of people who are most likely to hire you, correct? Now, did you create products for them, or did you have to switch to a different type of target audience and create products for that audience?
Right. That's a great question. I love your question. These are really, really helpful, I think, for anyone who is trying to do this, right? You're really understanding the kind of process that they need to know about. So I think to answer that, it's really cool the way I did that, because I was working for clients. And when I say stinker clients, I felt bad, but they weren't stinker clients. I think they were just frustrated, right? They were having frustrations with hiring me, and I was having frustrations trying to serve them, because it wasn't a match, but they didn't know what to do, because they were trying to build their business and use WordPress. And at the time, WordPress was a lot more difficult than it is now. There weren't as many themes, and there wasn't, WordPress is what had gone from, you had to go into the coding to make it look like a website, to all kinds of features. So it was like kind of at that transition time, and they were trying to find a way to get to serve people. So they were my clients that I did target. They were people who at that point needed a WordPress course so that they could do what they needed to do, because they thought they needed to hire someone to do it, but they didn't have the resources in terms of funds to pay me to do as much as I would need to do to get them online so that they could serve their people. So I created a course serving my clients, but just in a different way. And, you know, I often encourage anyone to do that, because it's much of an easier switch over, right? Like you still know your people, a lot of your clients could become your customers for a course like this. It can't always work that way, but when you can transition that way. And when you mentioned going from services, that's an instant payment, to products, that's not as instant a payment, and you have to launch and, you know, the long time to create a product, I actually worked around that very well. And I still do it today. I create products really fast and I get them out there really fast because of coming from that type of service business. I do it not like most people do it. So,
so you know what my next question is? How do you create your products fast?
Yeah, I thought that would be your next question. But I wanted to bring it up because it's a really valid point. Because if I had to, you know, transition from being a virtual assistant, it was hard enough to transition. If I was then trying to figure out launch phases and, you know, organizing that, it's not in my nature. I think some people are organized in a better way and that might suit them better. It was too much for me to wrap my head around, and it still is. I still don't do it that way, because the way I do it makes more logical sense to me, and it makes more sense to just get it out there and take action on it. So this is the way I do it. Some people may not recommend it, but it's what works for me. So I'll give you the example of my course that I've just created after coming back from a mastermind with my awesome friends that you know, Kelly McCauzy and Nicole Dean. I had tabled a product that Nicole and I had talked about back in November, December, and I had planned to do like 4 new coaching programs this year, or online courses. They're actually not really coaching programs. They're more like online courses. And I tabled it. And Nicole said, I wish you hadn't tabled it. And we talked a bit about it. And it made sense to me not to table it anymore. So I came back and I decided, okay, I'm going to do natural email marketer, which is what I'm promoting right now. And I went ahead and I knew what I needed to teach. I know how to connect with people through email marketing. I know what to say. I know all kinds of objections why people don't email their list often enough. And so I sat down and I wrote the sales page, because that's what I do first. And I just, I added my images. I did the bullet points. I did like good copywriting for the most part. I followed, you know, things that I've learned for a long time. So I've got that kind of down. I got that page ready. I took a couple of days And then I started promoting it. There is nothing in that course right now, but I know what I need to promote. I know what I need to create. And I'm doing it live on 2 dates, and I'm doing a live Q&A. I've got a ton of resources that are on my computer. I just need to pull them together. I've got a product that's going to come from my membership that I'm creating as a challenge. That's going to be a bonus. So I've got it all laid out. People know what they're signing up for. I know what I'm creating. I know I can do it. So this takes some confidence. This takes, and even back then, like when you met me, Lexi, and you said I was shy and quiet, I was, you know, even if you feel shy and quiet and like you might not have confidence, you just have to have confidence that you can deliver what you put on that page. That's what I do. That's how I create products. And I've done it over and over and over again for all of these years. So.
And that sounds like a topic for a whole nother interview. But yes, I've heard about that product, and I think I bookmarked it or something because I want to get in on that. So let's see. What do you think was the biggest mistake that you made when you're transitioning your business?
All through or in the, you said
in the transition, yeah.
Biggest mistake in my transition. Like, I don't see the transition as one event, and I never look at stuff as mistakes. So this is a hard question for me to answer because I take everything and I try to learn from it.
Good attitude. So I guess maybe what was something you tried that didn't work out the way you expected it to?
Okay.
And by the way, while you're thinking, I just want to tell everyone who's watching this, if you have questions for Angela, just type them in the comments because I will get to those at the end of, towards the end of the interview. Okay.
Okay. Honestly, I can't think of anything. If I'm really blanking, but maybe if it circles back around, I can probably think of something. Like, if I'm thinking about my transition, it was so gradual that it just moves. It moved pretty easily for me. And I think that if I could give anybody advice on how to do it, I mean, that's not exactly what you asked me, but, you know, what I would might do differently from the beginning was to really understand my numbers. So I guess that would be a biggest mistake. And that kind of came out of left field, but that would be like,
what do you mean by your numbers? Like finances?
Yeah. Yeah. Finances, knowing what you need to earn. So a lot of virtual assistants and myself included, you know, decide kind of almost randomly what to charge, you know, based on what they think they can earn. This would be what you could call a mistake in the beginning, but you could also call it an ongoing growth pattern that you need to experience. And you have to know what you want to earn, whether you're transitioning from one business to the other, or, you know, if you're looking to grow in your business, you've got to figure out where, like, how can you make that happen? And I never did that. The only thing I did was I knew I was making, so I was working at a factory job, I was making about $3,000 and I wanted to match that. So I did that when I quit my job. But then from there, it was like the mindset was set on 3,000. So that was a mistake because then you don't go beyond that. You don't go to 5,000, you don't go to 10,000 per month until you decide that's what you want to make. And the clients aren't just going to come in and start handing you stuff to add up to a bigger income. You have to create that.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that is a very common question for someone who's going into freelancing for the first time. And they think that to, you know, work out their hourly rates or however they're going to charge their clients, they think about matching their salary from their current job, which is not accurate because you have to think about what else are you getting from your job. For example, if you're getting medical coverage, if you're getting vacation days, sick days, you have to include all those things in, you know, your desired income as a freelancer, which means that your hourly rate will be much higher as a freelancer than as an employee. So I'm glad that
business expenses as well, which we don't think of.
Business expenses. And also you don't think about the hours that you'll be spending that are not billable, meaning you'll be working on marketing your business, right? Networking and all that. So you know, when you used to work 8 hours and be paid for 8 hours, that's not necessarily going to be the case when you become a freelancer.
Sure.
So now let's go to the flip side of that question, which is, what was the best decision you made?
Again, just to clarify, from transition to a service provider to...
Yeah,
the best decision would definitely be to create community, be part of community and create community. So when I transitioned, but I mean, that's not necessarily going to be the best decision for everybody. It was the best decision for me because I just love community. It's how you and I met. And it's how I meet a lot of people. It's how I built my business. I was interviewed like a year and a half ago. And I realized at that time, because she kind of walked through the various businesses I had, and there was a consistency of community in every one. When I started explaining to her how I built this business, how I built that business, like I'd always gravitate to community. And not everybody does that, but it was my thing. And so the best thing I did was create community. But there was a lot of good things I did, like hiring a coach, but that was more recently. But back when I was transitioning, I had a coach, the same coach. I've only actually had one coach, who was two coaches now, because I've coached with Kelly McCauzy and Nicole Dean. But back then, Nicole Dean was my coach. That was a really important decision. Paying for help, paying for experience, and being part of communities, not just free ones, paid ones too. So community is my answer to that question, I guess.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing for me. Like, I think one of the best decisions I made was joining Mom Masterminds, which is where I met you and Kelly and Nicole and Alice and all the other wonderful women there. How did you create your own community?
I was really inspired by that one that you and I were both part of. Like, that was a life-changing community. It was a community that just inspired me. It made friends and, you know, connections that just have lasted forever for a long time. And it built businesses. It made partnerships. Like, there's so much that came out of that community. So I created my own, and it wasn't easy. It's not like you create a community in a month or even like 6 months. I've been working at communities, I think probably since about 2011. You know, I've started different membership sites, which is my paid community. And it to create the one I have now, is like super special. It's the vision I was after, you know, and inspired by when I was inspired by Mom Masterminds. To create that, I had to get really clear on, you know, what was my vision, my why, you know, what I'm super capable of doing for people. And I created that by first creating it in my mind. And that sounds so like woo-woo or whatever. But, you know, I was inspired by Mom Masterminds, but I had to create something different. And I was able to go through some communities that didn't fit me. Like, I had built a WordPress one at first. And I knew I never wanted to be like all WordPress all the time after a while. I didn't want to be the WordPress person. There's some great WordPress kind of experts out there who love it and want to do that. And that's their mission. It wasn't mine. So I had to find out some things that I didn't want to create. And I ended up at another point, my community was, I was allowing, I guess, or it was coming in quite a bit, you know, just kind of people saying what they couldn't do and what wasn't working for them. And a lot of people who are frustrated don't realize that that's really, really not helping them. And so we had to turn that around in my group. And, you know, it's a process, but it's fun. to figure it out. And once you get it, like, I just love my community now. And it's just, we are a lot of the same people who were, you know, in that group earlier on, but we've grown. So we've grown together and it's really cool.
So I think this is I think it's a good place to let people know how to find out more about your group. And they can go to this link that I'm showing right now, which is alexisrodrigo.com/LLBC. And LLBC stands for?
The Laptop Lifestyle Business Club.
Right. So, folks, if you're interested in that community that Angela has built, visit this link. And you find out all about it. And I have just one final question for you, Angela. And that is, if you could go back to Angela in 2008 or even 2007, what advice would you give her?
Oh, my gosh. That almost makes me tear up. because of my answer, because of the answer I'm thinking of. And I've worked, you know, I've worked through a lot of this. So to have confidence in myself, to believe in myself, to know I have value. because, you know, that was me, and it's a lot of people. You know, we don't see what others see. And when I went to the mastermind just recently, and I know I've mentioned it a couple times, but it was really important to see how other people see you. And like what the intro you said now, it's still a growth thing. You know, we always need to keep working on our confidence and our, you know, just valuing what we have. And so that's what I would tell myself. You know, I had lots of determination. And so I don't think I would need to tell that to myself, because I kept determined. But the confidence would have helped grow and figure out what I wanted more quickly. So I would say that to myself.
That's a beautiful answer. And I'm just checking to see if there are any questions in the comments. Guys, if you have a question for Angela, now is the time to ask. I'm not seeing any. And you know what? We've been speaking for, wait, how long have we been speaking? 30 minutes. And we have covered so much. I just wanted to tell people about a challenge that I did with you recently, and that was the Daily Money Maker Task Challenge, Daily Money Maker Challenge, correct?
Right.
And so, guys, because of this challenge, I became, and I thought like I was already the queen of pitch, right? Like I could shamelessly pitch myself or my products, but after going through this challenge, I learned even more that I could be pitching more and making sales more. And that is actually a very crucial skill as a business owner, whether you are a service provider or a product seller or a combination of both. You just really have to get comfortable with asking for the sale and closing the sale. And so I put together one of the things I got from that challenge, Angela, was this wonderful list of daily moneymaker tasks. So I put that together with some of my own ideas, some of my own tasks that I brainstormed during that challenge. And I am giving that away for free to anybody who's watching this. So if you want to get this PDF, it's like 2 or 3 pages of just different things that you can do to make a sale. And you can do it every day if you want to. You can do 2 tasks, 3 tasks every day if you want to.
All day long.
If you all want. Day long. and you can be, you know, whether or not you have an email list, you'll find something here that you can do. So to get that through a messenger, through LexiBot, just type money daily in the comments. Or if you want to get it through email, because some of my viewers prefer to get it through email. Oh, apparently I did not add it here. Look at the description of this video. I do have the link for you there. I think it's alexisrodrigo.com/money-daily or daily-daily. -money Okay. I am so sorry if I've confused you guys, but you will find all those links in the description of this video. All right. And so I do not see any questions. Oh, there is one here.
Before you ask that one, can I just add something to what you said about the money task? So I think one of the things that people think often is it has to be like almost like an ad, but I think you've probably added, and what I put in that list, there are a lot of things that, you know, I believe actually selling is adding value, but even if you're like very shy from that part of it, there are lots of things you can do that don't even feel like selling at all. You're adding a lot of value. You're giving people stuff that lead them to deciding to buy from you. So check out the list, because it isn't what you probably think it is. If you think it's all just like sell, 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 it's about giving people what they're looking for. So check it out.
It's about helping people solve their problems. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. We do have one question from Rohi Shetty. So do you recommend publishing ebooks on Amazon KDP to start with?
I say you can go with whatever would work for you, because I don't have any experience with Amazon KDP at all. So I can't tell you, you know, how that could fit into your income goals or anything like that. But I mean, there's so many ways to go with transitioning from services to earning income. I mean, there's so many, what's the recent, it is an Amazon thing, but then there's a lot of people selling shirts, t-shirts and stuff like that. Like
mugs.
There's some really cool stuff, mugs. Yeah. And yeah, I would say, you know, whatever gets you most excited and you're going to continue to do, and you're going to look at your numbers and you're going to, you know, build your business. You got to find what's exciting to you. That would be my answer.
Absolutely. And also, you know, if you want to make money more quickly, and I can't imagine who doesn't, think about which people you already have access to. You know, mm-hmm. who are the groups of people that who are already exposed to you and your message, so that you can easily make your offer to them. So that's right. Another thing to think of. Also, Rohi, not from personal experience either, but because I work for Danny Innie in Miracy, and he does publish a lot of books. And well, let me tell you this. You can make money, because I co-authored a book with Danny. Where is it? but I do get occasionally book royalties. But the thing is, you probably will not make the bulk of your money from selling your book. You will get it from making an offer within your book. Do you know what I mean? Like without,
yes.
Yeah, I mean your book, you do want to provide value in your book. Like the book itself has value, but within that book, let people know and inspire your readers to work more deeply with you, whether that's, you know, hiring you for as a consultant or getting your coaching program or buying your information course or your online course or whatever products you offer. So it doesn't end with the book.
Right. So when you're thinking of your funnel, the book is like the top part of that funnel.
Right. And that's the other thing. I think maybe it's because you and I have been so well trained. It's like I treat everything as a funnel. Even these live presentations, somebody asked me, do you feel bad when no one's watching? It's like, no, because the effects, the impact of this video doesn't end with this video. It's a whole mm-hmm. funnel, guys.
Right. So, I feel the same way. I see how many people are here, and it doesn't affect me in any way. I mean, I know that 100 people, 200 people, 300 people could see this video. Plus, you're going to put it on your blog, because you told me. And,
yes.
You know, I can put it in my group. We can do a whole lot of stuff with this video. And
it's going to go on my YouTube channel as well.
Yeah. No matter who's watching right now, you don't know the impact you can make on one person. Or they could, if you're doing lives and you're only getting a few people, they could be sharing that with their huge community. You don't know who's there, right? So it's always worth creating and using what you've created. So I agree.
Absolutely. And I just want to say hello to Melanie Bremner. She says, I am late, but I'm here. So glad you could join us. And I hope you'll catch the recording, Melanie, because Angela shared some really awesome and valuable insights with us based on her amazing, amazing experience. Okay, we have another question from Bob Lankford. How can I find a community to start with? Ooh, good question.
That is a good question. You know, Facebook has lots of great communities. It depends on what you're looking for, though. So I would start doing a search, because you can, that search bar up at the top, and type in the kind of thing you're interested in being part of a community with. I would start there. But, you know, when I'm looking for paid communities, I'm going to go to Google. Like, I was interested in, you know, my membership. I love my membership. It's going great, but I want to know how to do better. So I went to Google to see what kind of communities there are around building communities. And, you know, I found a website for anybody who's interested, the Membership Guys. That's the site I found. They have their own community. They have their own podcast. You know, you find those websites and then you follow them that way. I think that's probably a better way to find value, more valuable stuff than kind of just searching in Facebook. And then also asking your friends, you know, if you are networking with people, you have certain people you know already in your industry, ask them what communities they're part of, because it's not always like the easiest to find like a really awesome community. So you've got to do some digging. What would you say, Lexi?
I found people who I wanted to learn from, who are similar to me, but have accomplished what I want to accomplish. So I think, first of all, I look for the community leader. Right. I look for like a sort of a mentor kind of person. And then I find out if they have a community. And I like communities that are active and where people are positive and encouraging. Yeah. So
great question.
Yeah, very good question. And we have another one here from Melanie. Pretty long, so it's covering our faces, Angela. I'm showing her comment. Amazon KDP can be good to do, but you have to do a lot of promoting. Yes, exactly what you say, Lexi. Create an offer in the book to make money, unless you're planning a series of books, and then plan on selling training materials or whatnot to go with it. I have been selling books for 10 years, and I have to say Kindle is my lowest income stream. Sales from my own site and sales from affiliates make you more. Well, thank you for the input, Melanie, and I'll be interviewing you in the future. Okay, so if there are no other questions, just wanted to remind people how to learn more about you, Angela, and that is through alexisrodrigo.com/LLBC. Any parting words, Angela?
Well, I do want to say thank you very much for having me here. Parting words, if you are looking to transition, I would suggest transitioning by looking at your numbers, thinking about it as a long-term thing. I wouldn't just kind of drop all your clients in frustration or anything like that. You know, if you're in the situation I was in, I think where you're just really, really overworked and overwhelmed, it might be time to start thinking about bigger changes, you know, really redetermining what it was you wanted to create. And so one of the things that's most important to me in my membership is to make people realize you really can build your business around your lifestyle, and your business does not need to fill your entire life, as it can happen. And so the parting word is to really believe that and really start to create that. There's going to be seasons where, you know, we're in the hustle to build, but think about what you really want your lifestyle to look like and build it from there. That's my parting words.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Angela, for joining me today. I have really enjoyed interviewing you. And to everyone watching us, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, join me again next week. Okay, guys, I will have another very exciting topic for you. Thank you again. And as for me, if there's one person that will be helped by these interviews, I'm happy. So enjoy the rest of your week. Bye.